Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
A couple of other stories out there in the world of free speech, as well as Hollywood. And I want to get to this story because this is a follow-up from, I believe it was Tuesday, when Stocker played you the clip of Anthony Mackie, who has been casted for the role of Captain America in the upcoming release and the reboot of the Captain America series, Brave New World in Rome. I believe the movie comes out later this spring. I think it's in March. If I'm wrong on that, apologies. I'm not a big action superhero type movie guy other than Batman. I can, you know, talk Batman all day, but the rest of them, DC, Marvel, I don't know the difference. Not really interested in any of them. But we played you the clip of Anthony Mackie. Again, this is along the lines of Selena Gomez and all of these Hollywood elites that, you know, remember, back during the election, tried to lecture us. Kamala Harris tried to buy all of these people off. Vote for Kamala, Oprah Winfrey, this celebrity, that celebrity. America rejected that. They don't resonate with us. They're detached from reality. I don't hate on them. They make the money they make. God bless you. It's capitalism. That's why America is the best country. And Anthony Mackie, in the clip we played for you on Tuesday, said, quote, Captain America represents a lot of different things. And I don't think the term America should be one of those representations. It's about a man who keeps his word, who has honor, dignity, and integrity. I want to play you the longer version of this clip, because now Anthony Mackie had to walk it back on Instagram, and we'll give you that quote and those quotes as well. But Phil, let's play this clip. This is Captain America, Anthony Mackie.
For me, Captain America represents a lot of different things, and I don't think the term, you know, America should be one of those representations. Like, it's about a man who keeps his word, who has honor, dignity, and integrity, someone who is trustworthy and dependable. You know, it's kind of like an aspect of a dream coming true. You know, when I was a kid, you know, all of us as actors, I believe, want to get back to that day before someone told you no. When you look out your door and you see a five-year-old kid with a stick and he's slaying dragons to save the princess in the tower, that kid really believes there are dragons out there. That stick is really a sword and he's really trying to save that princess. And then one day somebody told him, no, there are no dragons, that's not a sword, and that princess is not there. And all of his little dreams were dashed. So, you know, as an actor, I feel like our job is to get back to the day where we see that dragon and we slay that dragon to save that princess. And that's kind of what this movie was for me.
So I am very consistent when it comes to athletes, entertainers, and celebrities, when it comes to political viewpoints or social viewpoints. Either we let everybody that's coming out of their lane share their free speech beliefs with no punishment, no cancellation, no losing future job opportunities because you're left or you're right, and we know it's usually the right that gets punished for all of this, or you just stay strictly in your lane. But, I mean, for God's sake, Sean Farish, the guy's job title is Captain America. It's two words. So you can't just ditch America here. And I want to go back to the days when celebrities and entertainers just entertained me and didn't try to rewrite history. Remember, like, the woke Snow White, how she wasn't dependent upon the prince, and how that bombed. This movie, I think, could do well or it could bomb. I'm not sure. I won't see it either way. But the anti-America agenda of Hollywood is really, really staggering, because I just looked during the break. We have 8.2 billion people globally on this planet. And the United States has 341 million of those people that are here, whether it's legally or illegally. There are people legitimately that will walk and crawl over broken glass to get to this country and love everything about America. I'm just tired of those who capitalize on what America offers them, yet they publicly come out with anti-American viewpoints. This guy's going to get tens of millions of dollars to play Captain America wearing a costume and a cape. And I got to hear about the America or the anti-America viewpoints. I mean, I'm just at the point with all of them. Anthony Mackie, Selena Gomez, woke Snow White, all of you. either have a clue what you're talking about, and I don't care if you're wrong or I disagree, but at least somehow, some way, resonate with the common person that would love to be in your position and not badmouth America. Your thoughts,
yeah.
Sean?
Yeah, it is so aggravating to hear it, you know, coming from a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who was adopted by white parents and went to the University of Nevada and, you know, made it into the NFL, talk about oppression. Oh, you can't do. I would love to be as oppressed as Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah,
I really would. I would love that big oppressive Nike contract that he's got. You know, I would just say, let me live some of that oppression. Joy Reid, another one who is oppressed. Really? You have some of the worst ratings on television, yet you still have a job. You're the only person who won't be fired, because if you do get fired, you're going to be on social media crying somewhere about, oh, you know, I was only fired because I'm black. And no, it's not what it is. Woke Snow White, this guy with Captain America. I mean, maybe they found the wrong actor if you don't like the country. You know, maybe Mel Gibson should come back and play it. He played the Patriot. He happens to be an actual Patriot. And he's from Australia, too, where I did very well, by the way. We love Australia. But we're turning the Great Barrier Reef into the greatest barrier reef. We're going to do it. But look, these people that come in here, whether you're in, you know, you were born in this country or, you know, you weren't, and you chase the American dream and you make it. OK, I don't take anything away from Selena Gomez for her success.
No.
I'm not a fan of her music, but I applaud and I admire her success. Good for you. You did a great job. You something hit. You connected with your audience. You people. There was a market for your perceived abilities. Again, it's not a market that I'm a part of, but millions of people enjoy her content. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I also don't happen to be a big fan of Joe Rogan. I don't think he's that funny.
Same here.
A lot of people do. It's okay. Right. I'm not hating on people for being successful. But if you're going to come to America or you're going to achieve your success in America because we are America, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are America, you better respect the country and the place that allowed you to be that successful, okay? Taylor Swift, same thing. A lot of these actors, actresses, musicians, same thing. If this place is so horrible, well, why don't you go do your thing, Beyonce, in Russia or somewhere else? If this is such a terrible place, you know, just be thankful. Show some gratitude, you know, and understand, like Michael Jordan understood, that Republicans wear sneakers, too.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who are on our side of the aisle who do like Taylor Swift, who do listen to Beyonce, who do listen to some of these woke people, you know, and it's terrible because they want to support them. They like the music. Then there's a guilty pleasure. I just want to get away from that.
And really, I understand that these artists, they put their own little twist and spin on a character, right? Like, we've seen various iterations of the Joker. Jack Nicholson versus Heath Ledger versus Joaquin Phoenix, Cesar Romero. They all have, like, a different vibe and approach to it. But when you're Captain Stinkin' America, you can't say that it's not about America. I mean, Dawn, you have worked at the network levels. Larry has dealt with entertainment before, as from a broadcasting standpoint. Do you think that these Hollywood elitists are still clueless and they can't read the room with where America is at? Because when Trump won 3 months ago, it was a cultural tipping point, and a lot of these people are still oblivious to it.
Well, I think based on the comments that you just played on the cut sheet, he got the memo now to say something, I think, a little better. He's like back. He's kind of backtracking.
Yeah, Phil, throw up the Instagram post so the audience can read it while Dawn gives her point.
Yeah, because I would say this. Remember Captain Marvel back? It was like 2019, and it was a female. The blonde, Brie Larson, played it. And what I would say about it, give these people a good script as well. So even my sons were saying, oh, I don't know, this is the latest Captain America. This is going to be hard for him. They weren't discussing all that. They didn't know about the political angle of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you're drastically changing now the actor who's playing this. And so on top of it, you know, and this is the role is like you were a captain in the army, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a patriot. You're playing a patriot. That's your role.
Right.
So if these people don't get it, give them a script. But then the script is not great either. So I, you know, I will see it. So I'll let you know, because we see all of these.
Okay.
I just remember seeing Captain Marvel, which was like a big deal in 2019. Oh, it's a female that's playing this. And it bombed. Like she, you know, I wanted to root for her. It just wasn't a great script.
Yep.
She's the actress who played in Lessons in Chemistry. Mm-hmm. If you ever saw that series, it's awesome. She's a great actor. So give these people a good script. And I would say, quite frankly, if I'm in the PR department over there, give them a good script when they're being interviewed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just write the script for them. They're actors. They'll just act it out.
New York Magazine highlighting Anthony Mackie and his backpedaling. You just saw the Instagram post from Phil on YouTube. If you care to read the backpedaling / apology of "I didn't mean to disrespect America, I love America," you can get that. I'll be fair. He did apologize. And I'm not saying he had to.
I think he had to.
I mean, I'm all for free speech, even speech I don't like. You know, own what you say. Yeah, stand by it. Same thing with Selena Gomez. You wanted to cry on Instagram that she couldn't do anything to help the illegals being deported, then she deletes it. So either you're on the right side and you're righteous, or you're not. Why would you delete it?
Because
I love seeing her delete it.
So do I.
That was my favorite thing. Right? It's like, oh, shoot, my people are being attacked. Shh. Okay, then how about you invite your people to your house?
Yeah.
How about you cry for Lake and Riley?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
You cried for people you don't know, and you'll never know, by the way. You're never going to know the illegals. I'm not saying, look, I'm not here advocating for racial profiling of people you think are Mexican, or if someone's brown and has an accent, they're automatically illegal. No, right? But that's not what's going on.
Right.
She's, oh, my people are being attacked. I wish I could do something.
Well you can. On Instagram. She can. She's got a $5 million. She got a $5 million dream home. House them.
Let them in.
Yeah, let them in.
Bring them all in. Yeah. Right. But she didn't cry for Lake and Riley. She didn't cry for Rachel Morin. She didn't cry for Travis Wolfe. She didn't cry for Kate Steinle. She didn't cry for Jocelyn Ungaray. And by the way, she's crying all about these illegal immigrants. Is this guy up in Massachusetts, Cesar Polanco? They just got this guy who beat his pregnant wife to death in front of his 5-year-old son because he drank too much and did too much cocaine.
Yeah.
We're crying for him.
Nope.
Is that what we're crying for? The thing is, she actually doesn't know.
No.
I believe she's oblivious. If you said to Selena Gomez, Selena, who is Lake and Riley? She would say, oh, I don't know. Okay. But and that's a problem. I think everybody should know her name. We all know who George Floyd is.
Yeah.
We should probably know who Lake and Riley is, but she doesn't know. The point of the matter is she did it, A, for attention, which we're giving it, but we're giving it attention for the right reasons, to condemn it, to say this is stupid. But B, you know, it's all about, oh, it's woke, and all my woke friends are crying for the illegals and they're posting these things. I'm going to go on there and act a little bit. But what shows me that she doesn't actually believe it is she took the post down.
Mm-hmm.
So those tears, I no longer think those tears were real.
Yeah. She's the one protesting.
Sort of exercise.
Right. She embodies the pro-Gaza protesters from the LGBT community that are either oblivious or don't care that the cause they're supporting, if they were dropped off in the Middle East and decided, hey, I'm going to go up to Hamas terrorists and say, my name is Stephanie and here's my pronouns. And I say, they will cut your head off. They don't want your support because they don't believe in your freedoms and your lifestyle that you're afforded here in this country that you claim Donald Trump is trying to attack and take away from you.
That's right.
We got to get to New York Magazine quickly just to wrap up this segment, because New York Magazine had the Anthony Mackie story. But then also New York Magazine was slammed for cropping a photo to make a MAGA gathering look like a racist cult. The Daily Mail writes, New York Magazine has been slammed online and on social media for editing out black attendees from a front cover spread of the young, gleeful, and casually cruel MAGA faithful. So there you will see on YouTube the article on the right and then the middle cover of the magazine. And you see all these people in their, I don't know, 20s, perhaps early 30s. I don't know, anywhere from 18 to 32. There's some mixed drinks, couple of high noons. Love a good high noon, by the way. That's the cover of it. And if you were to actually pan back in the picture, which the Daily Mail and other outlets that have outed New York Magazine have done, you will see multiple ethnicities. You will, in fact, see three African-American men legitimately 6 inches away from where the photo cuts off, where they say, out late with the young right, as they contemplate cultural domination, written by Brock Collier of New York Magazine. The headline, The Cruel Kids Table. I say this repeatedly on this show. The mainstream legacy media, when we look at racism, the supply of it in reality, in everyday life, does not meet and match the demand that the media and the Democrats want or claim is out there for racism. And this is after the least racially diverse election, the most racially diverse election since Lyndon B. Johnson in 1964. A Republican had more black voters and more Hispanic voters than we have seen in 60 years. Yet you're going to put a magazine out there for your elitists in the Big Apple to read that say MAGA doesn't welcome minorities. There's people right there in the gathering at the ball drinking cocktails, but you couldn't widen the lens on your photo 3 more inches because you had a narrative to sell to the American public. I love the fact that places like New York Magazine, New Yorker, and all these little vanity magazine publications, Rolling Stone, Newsweek, I want them all outed for their BS.
And by the way, one of the people who threw the party is an African-American man. So
he's so CJ Pearson, right?
Yes. Yeah. CJ Pearson.
And he's been outspoken.
Yeah, young kid from Alabama. Yep. Young Republican. I think he might be in his early 20s.
But he posted that and everybody was retweeting it. And that's the beauty of social media now, that they can show, you know, New York Magazine just crops this. Everybody's showing the uncropped piece that Phil has up there. And then everybody says, are you kidding me? And then they're exposed. It's a beautiful thing.
It's becoming that easy, too, to expose them. That's the best part, is it's becoming that. Like when CNN said Elon Musk did a Hitler salute. And it was like, all right, well, I guess I have a job to do. I went on some coverage of that event and went back, and it's my heart goes out to you. And they took the audio out. I mean, it's becoming, they have to reach so far to try and find these things that it's becoming that easy.
Yeah.
You know, Russia was hard to debunk. You had to take, you know, it was years of digging and finding these connections, and people like Levin and Bongino and Devin Nunes and, you know, John Ratcliffe and Keshe Patel. And they put all this information out. You know, it's like, oh, there's a picture with white people. I bet you we could find another picture with a lot of people who aren't white, you know, quickly.
Yeah.
And then because X is free speech platform and we have, you know, fairer platforms on the internet now, it becomes debunked and we laugh at them within seconds.
You're right. Yep. 855-839-1210. Are you tired of the winning yet? I mean, the winning hasn't stopped in 3 months. I love it. Stop. I just keep rolling.
It's not going to stop. It's going to be great. We win like nobody's ever won before, right?
I'm kind of rooting for a loss just so I could change it up a little bit and go after somebody else. This is getting a little exhausting here.
You know, we signed a new executive order. Pluto is a planet again, by the way. We signed an executive order, and we also granted Chris Christie planet status, too. Just wanted to say that.
Yes. Big fan of Uranus. All right. I might actually do a show there one day. I don't know. I'll play top 40 music from Uranus. We'll come back. We'll get to a Dawn Stensland Big Three today in music history, our movie clip from Jimmy, and one last story as Zuckerberg has to pony up the money. We'll talk about it. It's Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Sean. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Maybe post Super Bowl, you know, that little slow stretch in February, not for our format, but, you know, sports wise, we get Esty back in here and we have a Kamala Joe Trump 3-way conversation with Conklin, Farish, and Esty. That would be a ratings bonanza.
What a beautiful. And I'll tell you something. Your ratings go through the roof like a rocket ship every Friday. You know that they go up like it's never seen before, like nobody's ever seen. But we do so well. And I'm signing executive orders like nobody has ever seen. You know, we're having a great time doing it. But my wrist is getting very sore. It's like Jeffrey Toobin on a Zoom call. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's terrible. It's terrible. Let's go, Harry.
Oh, jeez. All right. We'll get to today in music history as well as our morning mystery movie clip. But let's get caught up in the world of news. One of the worst air disasters we've seen probably in 15-plus years. It's time for a Dawn Stensland Big 3 at 9:32.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale & Company.
Big 3 at 9, sponsored this morning by the Special Olympics of Pennsylvania. Number one, just updating you that no survivors are expected after that American Airlines plane and an Army helicopter collided midair over D.C. last night as the search and recovery operation, or search and rescue operation, I should say, has now become a recovery mission. So the flight traveling from Wichita, Kansas, colliding with the military chopper while approaching runway 33 at the D.C. airport, Reagan National, around 9 o'clock. And we're even hearing from some of the spouses on the commercial airliner saying, and one man had been speaking out saying, my wife had just texted me, hey, we're just about to land, or we're just landing. And just the tragedy as these families embrace this. We've been covering this for you all morning long and learning more information, but no survivors expected out of this, as certainly more than 300 first responders continue to pull bodies from the 36-degree Potomac River amid very windy conditions. So it looks like they're saying at least 28 bodies, including the one U.S. Army serviceman.
Yeah, it's 28 bodies recovered, 67 feared dead. We've heard from Sean Duffy, who's the new Secretary of Transportation in the former position held by Pete Buttigieg. And now it looks like in the corner of the television for Fox, Hegseth, our Secretary of Defense, is set to speak on the plane collision soon. So might be coming to you right around the time the Dawn Show starts.
Yeah, there's so much developing and so much breaking, and we're learning new information. By the way, the new Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, the one headline for him is that he was saying this was absolutely preventable. And remember that President Trump had been putting that out on Truth Social. And Duffy saying, I agree with the president, this was preventable. So perhaps we'll learn more about that. But, you know, the confirmation hearings, there was talk that these would be canceled on Capitol Hill. No, the confirmation hearings will go on amid this tragedy and amid the recovery efforts now. That means that former Democrat and Representative Tulsi Gabbard, Cash Patel, RFK Jr., all of this, they still facing more intense questioning from senators as they will they be confirmed? Will they become part of Trump's second administration? So we'll be covering all of that moving forward.
I really do believe that Tulsi Gabbard is going to handle herself incredibly well. I mean,
I think so.
I've never seen her not in one of those just totally poised speaking engagements. She's almost a flatliner. Not to say she's boring, but boring shouldn't really matter. But she's just very well spoken, always even keeled. I don't really expect a ton of fireworks unless somebody really tries to put on a production. Unless Liz Warren starts going all Raging Karen, I think Tulsi Gabbard, forget whether she gets confirmed or needs a recess appointment, I think she'll be very meticulous and methodical.
They're going to bring back Russia with her, because they're accusing her of being a Russian agent. And it's just a shame that Kamala's not in the Senate anymore, because it would be nice to see Kamala v. Tulsi part two.
Again.
Yeah.
Well, we are sponsored by the Special Olympics PA 2005. Philadelphia Polar Plunge is the coolest event in the Philadelphia region. Chill at Citizens Bank Park February 1st, so coming up this weekend, to make a splash and support Special Olympics Pennsylvania athletes at the very same time. Visit phillyplunge.org. You can learn more. Sign up today. Thank you, Special Olympics PA. And by the way, First Bank sponsors our number three in the Big Three. This is a lighter-hearted story. We've been talking a lot about federal workers. Well, you know which federal workers are really working harder than they've worked in many years? The White House stenographers. Because under the new administration, the story is that the people responsible for transcribing Trump's public remarks, they're actually struggling to keep up with all the words. Now they are.
Right.
But 22,000 words, that was just on inauguration day.
Well, it's easy to be a stenographer when Joe Biden's the president and he gives you one word answers. I mean,
you
I could go under
the teleprompter and you copy and paste. That's all you got to do.
I could have been Joe's stenographer under the consumption of four Tito doubles with a typewriter.
My favorite words aren't the stenographer, but it's the sign language people. Okay. And when Joe Biden comes up with some gibberish, they're just like, I don't know.
Got to do a little.
How do you when sign gibberish?
Like, I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize children and shove the pressure. And they were like, hello.
And then you're like,
I'm serious. Think about it.
Oh, we're thinking about it, Joe. It's been bouncing around in my head for 8 minutes. I still don't know what the hell you said.
Even the Associated Press writes, the flood of words is one of the most visible or audible shifts from Biden to Trump.
Flood of words.
So that was a pretty funny line.
The flood of it's called the weave. It's not a flood. It's a weave. These people don't know what they're talking about.
Well, we
stupid
are
stupid people.
Sponsored by First Bank, ready to drive your business's success with a trusted local partner account of First Bank for personalized support, smart solutions, really to help you get your business growing. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com. Learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Thank you, First Bank, for sponsoring part of our Big Three this morning.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. We talked about the winning doesn't stop. Obviously, we've seen a lot of defamation lawsuits. George Stephanopoulos, $15 million ABC. Jake Tapper, defamation. CNN, $5 million. Now you can throw in Meta as well, as Zuckerberg's company of Facebook and Instagram yesterday agreed to pay $25 million to settle Donald Trump's lawsuit alleging censorship over the social media giant's suppression of his Facebook and Instagram accounts after January 6th of 2021. No comment from Meta, no comment from the White House, but a source close to Trump confirmed that Meta will pay $25 million under the terms of the settlement. According to the Wall Street Journal, which first reported the settlement for $22 million, that will be the $22 million portion of the payment will go toward a fund for Trump's presidential library. The remainder will go towards legal fees and the other plaintiffs who signed on to the case. So this is yet again another victory for Trump, but it's also a victory for free speech against the censorship cartel. You know, I could have easily have been sent. I might have been, and I still think to some extent, I am shadow banned on X a little bit. But I never was taken off of any of the platforms in 2020 or 2021. Because up until 2022, I was still doing sports, and I couldn't share some of the views that I had of the pandemic, of the George Floyd situation, of January 6th. But I know many of you were deplatformed and shut down on social media. So in a way, if you had the same viewpoints that Trump shared and were, I mean, you're not going to get $22 million, nor do you have a presidential library to contribute it to. But this is a victory, again, for everybody that believes in the First Amendment and should not have social media at the request of a incoming or current administration silencing and suppressing you. Now, granted, Facebook, Twitter, if they want to shut you out, they have the right to do it as their company. But where to me, the First Amendment violations came is when Joe Biden and his administration are yelling at Zuckerberg and these companies, shut that down. That, to me, is the violation. Sean, I don't know. Were you actually shut out? I mean, I know you've had a few, like temporary short-term suspensions. I remember, was it a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago? You couldn't get into your account or whatever it was. But were you ever totally deplatformed?
On Facebook, I could not use the platform.
Okay.
I couldn't even make a new account. If I made a new account, it was taken down within minutes.
Okay.
That was after the 2020 election. We were leading protests on Long Island that, you know, we were saying it was stolen. I actually had to get a new phone in order to make another account. And then they eventually gave me the old one back. I don't know why they did that, but they eventually gave me the old one back. But I was not allowed on Facebook for about 2 or 3 months. I could not, even if I made it under a different name and a different email, I could not make an account. It was crazy.
Wow.
Boy, I got to tell you, if you're Trump and you're just looking at Zuckerberg, he's cozying up to you. Now he has to give you $25 million. I mean, do you think he just looks at Zuckerberg and is like, That's my B word over there. I made him.
That's my B word right there. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you know, the word I can't say on the radio because the FCC thinks it's 1962 still. Yeah. He owns it. Like, who's your dad? Remember the scene in Remember the Titans when Denzel Washington goes up to Gary Bertier and he's like, Gary, who's your daddy, Gary? If you want to get on that bus, who's your daddy, Gary? That's Trump right now to Mark Zuckerberg. And I love it. I love every bit of it. All right, we'll come back, find out what occurred today in music history, what's on tap for the Dawn Show, and what movie Jimmy Kelly has lined up for the Morning Mystery movie clip. It's Kale and Company, back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
January 30th, we celebrate the birthday of Phil Collins, who's 74, and Marv Ross from Quarter Flash, who's also 74. Quick side note, I may have to talk to Greg because apparently I'm doing research for our music station down the hall because they did not know it was Phil Collins' birthday, which is a sin. Heavenly birthday shout-outs to Steve Marriott from The Small Faces. Single include Please Please Me by The Beatles in 64, Rock This Town by The Stray Cats in 81, Rocket by Def Leppard in the UK in 89, Eternal Flame by The Bangles also in 89, and Crush With Eyeliner by R.E.M. in 95. Album that could Run With The Pack by Bad Company in 76, Slided In by Whitesnake in the UK in 84, Futuristic Dragon by T-Rex in 76, Captured by Journey in 81, Young and Crazy by Tiger Tales in 87, Queensryche debut in 82, and Fabulous Disaster by Exodus in 1989. Also in 88, Robbie Robertson from the band was on SNL. On that same day, INXS were the top of the singles chart with Need You Tonight. In 56, Elvis recorded Blue Suede Shoes. In 73, Kiss played their very first show. In 71, Neil Young performed The Needle and the Damage Done at UCLA a year before it was recorded and released. And in 89, Don Henley filled in for drums on Guns N' Roses' song Patience at the American Music Awards. But lastly, on this day in 69, the Beatles played their lunchtime rooftop gig on top of the Apple Building in London, a place I hope to visit this fall. It was their last public performance for Kale and Company. I'm Phil Lundquist.
It's good to know.
It is good to know.
It's good to know. The more you listen, the more you know. Dawn Stensland is coming up 6 minutes from now, and we find out what she has lined up at 10 o'clock.
Oh, there's so much developing. Obviously, we'll continue to bring you the latest developments as they happen. News conferences from the new Trump administration, and then as well the confirmation hearings. But a lot locally, we'll tell you what's going on. Just this morning, we're 6 minutes away from some live events happening in Philadelphia, talking about the state of education and what's going on statewide in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, as far as lawmakers reacting, especially to these ICE operations. So we'll bring you up to date with all of it. You won't miss a thing. We're live and local right here.
All right. The Dawn Show is coming up next. Everybody stay tuned for that. We are back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. As Senator John Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.